Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks, and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So good morning, beloved. How are you? This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I am so grateful to say that we have with us this morning my beloved co-host, a woman that is faithful, loyal, trustworthy, loving, very protective. Gosh, I don't know. Y'all come up with some adjectives to describe the woman of love, because you know who she is. It's none other than Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, my love. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. I am happy to be with you all today. I'm also happy to be alive. And I want to say that all the attributes that you give me, I've learned from you, and just watching you and watching how you love God and just watching how you operate in the things of God, even when people hurt you, you still show the love of God. So, you know, I just give God the glory that He allowed me to meet such an awesome woman of God like yourself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know, there's an old song. There's an old song that says, "It's so easy to love you because you're beautiful." And it gives some other attributes about the person that you're loving. And it has been so easy to love you. So I do thank God for today. I thank Him for bringing you and your family into my life and into my family's life. And God makes no mistakes. He just absolutely makes no mistakes. So I do thank Him for what He has done. The divine connection. And there's no other connection that is as awesome as one that is divine. It is done on purpose by God. And I know this connection was. To God be the glory.
Amen.
God be the glory.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Well, beloved, this morning, let me just go ahead and take the time out to say good morning to some of our regulars. Praise God. We can't cover them all, but I cover the ones that have been with us for years, you know, that I'm aware of their numbers. You know, I try to cover them. And to everybody else, know that we love you no matter what. No matter what, we're grateful for each and every one of you for calling in to us on a Saturday morning. So with that being said, good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, beloved. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Love you a lot, honey. Praying for you and your family, grandchildren and all. God bless you. Good morning to Prophetess Kim and Prophetess Dorn. Morning to Isaiah and Rob. Morning to Denise and Thomas Farr. Good morning to New Vision members. Praise God. Good morning to Nikki Sue. Good morning to Marisha. Just good morning. If there's anyone else who I've said good morning to and missed you this morning, I'm sorry about that. I'm just going off the top of my head. And good morning to you all. Just good God morning. A good God morning to you all. Thank you so much for supporting us in the manner in which you do. Thank you so much for supporting us. And with that being said, we're going to ask Minister Tabika to go ahead and take us into the throne room this morning, beloved.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to each and every one of you all. Thank you so much for joining us again on another Saturday morning. You could be doing other things, but you are here with us. Granted, you may still be in the bed, and that's fine, but we still thank you for joining us this morning and just being a support while we share, you know, what God lays on our heart to share. So thank you so, so, so very much. We don't take your presence for granted. And thank you for the times that you do share. And we greatly appreciate that as well. So amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to your marvelous name, Almighty God. You are a mighty God. And Lord, we just give you praise. Oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and are still continuing to do. Father, we just lift you up just to say thank you for how you love us, oh God, and how we were on your mind before we were even born. You loved us then. You loved us before we were formed. You loved us before we were even thought about by our parents. And so, Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you have created us to be, Father God, that you have not forgotten about us, that each and every one of us are special to you, Father God, and you place something within us that you have cultivated, you have grown, you have molded, you have nourished, oh God, and Lord, you are some of us, you are ready for that to for us to blossom like a flower. And oh God, and some of us, you're still working on us, and that's fine. But when it comes time, when you say, okay, this is your time, this is your moment, God, I just pray that we are obedient and that we are not full of fear when it's our time, when it's your time, Lord God, when it's our time, when you say, okay, go, Lord God, we just thank you even now, Lord God, that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, because when I think about who you are, it just makes me well up with tears in a good way, in a joyful way, Lord God, because we have you and that you are consistent in our lives and that you never change your mind about us, no matter where we are in life or what we've done, the decisions that we've made, Lord God, you love us unconditionally, Lord. And even in the moments, Lord, where we feel discouraged and disappointed because of whatever is going on in our lives, oh God, we know that when we call on the name of Jesus, that you hear us and that you come to see about us, Lord God. Oh God, when the pressure of the world, oh God, and the pressure of our jobs and the pressures of just families and different things that are going on, Lord God, when we feel like we can no longer take another step, Lord God, when we cry out to you, Lord God, you come to see about us, Lord God. And I just thank you that we have you. I thank you that we have you. And I thank you, Lord God, that you don't change your mind about us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful to you, to us and to your word and to who you called us to be, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And God, even when we don't believe in ourselves, Lord, you still believe in us. And God, I just want to give you praise for all that you are and all that you do, Lord God, because we can't live this life without you, Lord God. We cannot live this life without you. We cannot live this life not knowing your word. We cannot live this life without knowing who you are and just meditating on your word, Lord God, and just, oh my goodness, just wanting that relationship with you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that nothing and no one can take away from us. No one can take your love away from us, Lord God. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just everything, Lord God. Just thank you for everything, God. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And we love you, Lord God. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. God be all the glory and the honor. To God be all the glory and the honor. He is so awesome and so marvelous and so wonderful. And when you realize it, just like you heard the tears that was welling up in my beloved's voice, when you realize that you can become overwhelmed with such gratitude that somebody loves you no matter what. If somebody loves you no matter what. Every other love other than that of the Father, every other love other than that of the Father is conditional love. It's conditional love. But I do thank God that He loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally, that no matter what, He still loves us. Does that mean He's always pleased with the way that we act and what we do? No, it does not mean that. But it does mean that no matter what, He loves us. And yes, He will chastise us. Understand that loving you does not mean we won't get chastised. The Word tells us that He chastens those who love. He chastises us. You know, we pay the consequences of our actions. We do that. And that also is coming out of love. It is also coming out of love. So don't think that because God loves you, that He won't thank you if it's necessary, okay? Don't think that He won't thank you or discipline you. He does, and He only does it to bring the best out of us, to help us to mature, help us to grow, and help us to become more like Him, to help us to become more like Him. So, again, we are excited about having you here with us today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I also want to say, because I know there's some new callers on this morning, I also want to say that as we're discussing the topic that we are discussing, please, if you want to say something, if you want to ask a question, you do so by pressing 1 on your keypad. You press 1 on your keypad, it lets us know that that you are there, and we will bring you in on our conversation. Yes, this is Blog Talk Radio, where we all can talk. And the thing is, too, that this is heart to heart. So we want to know what's on your heart as we share what is on our heart. And prayerfully, we're sharing what is on the heart of God as we also go to His Word, go to His Word. There'll be times when we are discussing things and, you know, the topic is a total biblical topic. There are other times that the topic is not biblical, that it is not biblical, but it's still something that's on our heart. So that's what we do here. And I'm saying this for our new people that are on today. I'm saying this. We talk, you know, about relationships and Bible studies and all kinds of things that you're dealing with. So anyway, let's get to the heart of this matter. Let's get to the heart of this matter. Now, saints of God, we know that for the last 2 weeks at least, I believe, for the last 2 weeks, we have been discussing loving yourself. We have been discussing, you know, how it is that you go through life doing so many things for so many other people, and not loving ourselves. And we started with the scripture of the fact that that Jesus told us, you know, to love thy Lord, the Lord thy God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, to love Him basically with everything we have in us, to love God in that manner, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And we have found out that a lot of us have gone through the things where we call ourselves loving God with everything that we can, and then we love our neighbor. We jump right over we jump over the part where we are supposed to love ourselves. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we have no problem in saying that we love God. We have no problem in saying that we love our neighbor. We have no problem in saying that we love everybody because we are Christians. So therefore, we love everybody. We have no problem in saying that. However, we do not give into or address loving ourselves. Loving ourselves. And this, beloved, can be a major, major problem. It will cause us not to, it'll cause us to dwell in low self-esteem, no self-worth, not thinking that we should have or get or be treated in the way that we actually should be treated because we're so down on ourselves. There's no confidence. The list goes on and on. The list goes on and on. But we have shared with you over the last 2 weeks in some ways that, first of all, it is the word of God for you to love yourself. And when you love God and when you are trying your best to live a life that's pleasing unto God, when you love God, you begin to realize how important you are to God, that he is mindful of you above all things, and then you should turn around and love yourself. And then as you love yourself, it makes it easier for you to contend with and deal with stuff that you're dealing with other people, that you're dealing with other people. It'll make it easier. So on our Wednesday night, and I do want to thank, while I'm thinking about it, I want to thank Lady Joyce, who joined us on our Bible study Wednesday night, and joined us here on the radio show last Saturday. And her input with information that she had learned and gathered from Dr. Miles Monroe's teaching, and she shared with us with that. So I want to thank her publicly for the awesome job that she did and not only the information that she received, but she was very transparent about herself. And folks, you will learn that about us on this show. We are transparent. We cry. We cry because some of the things we talk about, we still have the feelings of it. Sometimes the tears are feelings of joy and gratitude, and other times it's the pain that's still there. But we love each other, and we do love each other. We pray for each other, and we thank God for this family that has been developed here on this show. So on last week, on Wednesday, we were continuing on with the loving thyself, and in doing that, we talked about how we let people in our lives abuse us, emotionally abuse us, financially abuse us, spiritually abuse us, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And their physical abuse, but how we let them abuse us. And then we continue on in the same path. We continue on doing everything we can to get the love of somebody, you know, to get the love of somebody. And we ignore the fact of how much God loves us and that he doesn't do that to us. And God is our example on how we are supposed to live. He's our example. And if God says that in his eyes, we are worthy of this love, we are worthy of perfected love, we are worthy of love, you know, that if wherever it causes for compromise, the compromise is to lead us towards godliness and not taking us away from the godliness. If somebody in them saying that they love you, but all the time they're loving you, it's causing you a trouble, it's causing you pain, it's devastating to you every which way, is that how God loves you? And especially if this person of God. If this person is a man or a woman of God, if this is what they claim to be, and in their love, there are good things that they do for you and or to you, and yet you'll find out that there's so much that they do for you that cuts you down, you know, makes you feel low and, like I said, unworthy and so forth and so on. And, you know, is that love? Does God do that to you? And we are to represent God here on earth. So in our discussion, one of the people online brought up the scripture that that comes from Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44. And let me read that to you. It says, "You have heard it say, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." And so the question on the floor was, because we were talking about how you have to love yourself. So you have to come to the place where you're loving you like God loves you. And God says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says that, you know, you're worthy. Well, you are worthy enough in his eyesight that he let his son become sin for us and take on all of the abuse that he took, because he took our sin on him. And he died for us. And Jesus did all of that. He did all of that because he loved us. And then we turn around and we let other people treat us like crap, you know, just do all kinds of things and treat us like crap. So we're supposed to come to a place where we say, hey, look, I've got to set some boundaries here. I've got to set some boundaries. I'm not going to let you continue to walk all over me, my heart, my feelings. I've given you everything I've got. I've given you my heart. I've given you my love. I've given you my money. I've given you... And you could just name all the stuff that you have given unto this person, and they continue not to make you a priority in their life. They continue to do so. So you say, stop. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Well, when we said that, you know, you learn to love yourself, you learn to stand up for yourself, you learn to say, it's okay to say, you know, I am worthy of godly love. That's the love I'm worthy of. I love me. And in that loving yourself, that's not being selfish. That's not being self-centered. That's not being braggadocious. That's not being arrogant. No, it's not being any of those things. It's loving you like the Father loves you. And you set boundaries. So then someone brought up this scripture. I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. So now when you read that scripture, it could be interpreted as, let people do whatever they want to do to you, and you continue to love them. And, yes, hear me, beloved. Hear me when I say this. You can still love somebody who does these things to you. However, the continuing to let them do that, no. There is a place where you draw the line. There is a boundary that you must set. So if somebody is stealing from you every day, constantly after your money, and sometimes they take it, other times you give it, are you disobeying this scripture? If you say, no, I'm going to stop giving you money. No. It says, love them. We can bless them. Bless them in your words. Do good by them. We're supposed to pray for them. You can do that. But you do not have to continue to let them abuse you. You do not have to continue to do that. That's not what this scripture means, to let people continue to abuse you and take advantage of your compassion, take advantage of your mercy, take advantage of your God-like quality. Hear me. You are presenting to them the fruit of the Spirit. You are loving them because God said to love them. You are sacrificing because God said to love them. You are doing those things. You have compromised. And there are times our compromising has taken us out of the place of doing the God-like things to doing things that are sinful because we're so busy trying to win the heart and the love of these people. First of all, beloved, let me tell you that as I'm growing and as I'm learning, you cannot keep somebody who does not want to be kept. You can do everything you can to get this person to love you and treat you right. But if they don't want to do what's right, there's nothing you can do to make them do the right thing. You can talk, you can preach, you can cry, you can pray, you can do all of those things. You can't make them do what they don't want to do. A man and or a woman is going to do what you allow them to do to you. They are going to do what they want to do to you if you allow them to do it to you. And in the end, they will walk away from you, and the very things you were asking them to do, they will go and do that for somebody else. They will go and do that. Because you know why? Because you have taught them, but they didn't do it for you. You have told them the right things to do. Y'all go your separate ways, and then before you know it, they will be doing the very thing that you begged them to do for you. They will do it for someone else to win someone else's love. This is a hard lesson to learn, beloved. It's a hard lesson to learn. It's hard, you know, to deal with somebody that you cared about so much and you thought they cared about you, and y'all can walk away, whether it's brother, sister, mother, father, boyfriend, husband, whatever the case may be, can walk away from each other, and then you watch them do other people better than they did you. Whoa, oh my God. I'm telling you, talk about pain. So today what we wanted to discuss is, how do we forgive? How do we forgive? Because, you know, let me see, also, wait a minute, there was one other scripture that was in Luke, again, dealing with the scripture we read before in Matthew 5:44 and Luke 6:28. It said, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Let me tell you, there are people in my life, that I know right now, the reason that they are, I know this is going to sound very strange, but I'm telling you what the Father told me, the Holy Spirit told me. There are people in my life right now who are still living because I prayed for them. Because I prayed for them. These are people that have hurt me. These are people that have taken advantage of me. And you hear Minister Sabika saying all the time how she has seen me love those people that she knows. She's a witness to how people have treated me, and I still show them the love of God. I still, because that's what the Word tells you to do, to show them the love of God, to pray for them, and so forth. And Holy Spirit will tell me, you love them, and you continue to pray for them. Because they are alive. Their lives have been spared because you have prayed for them. Just like in Job, when God told Job to pray for his friend who talked about him, who came against him, accused him of being wrong, and saying that's why God took everything from him. God told pray for them. Those friends did not get blessed until Job prayed for them. So to all of my friends out there, all of my so-called friends, all of the people that said that they loved me and so forth and so, I'm still praying for you. I'm still praying for you. So Now, let's look here. We want to talk about, before I go on, Minister Sabika, darling, is there anything you want to say? Before I let you say something, we got a caller that wishes to say something. Let me let the caller say it. Good morning, darling. How are you, beloved? Your last four digits are 3149. I know who the number belongs to, but I'm not sure that they're there.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know what?
Hello?
Good morning. I apologize. I hit that button automatically. But good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, good morning to you, beloved. Good morning to you. Okay. Tabika, darling, did you have something that you wanted to say before we got into the forgiveness end of it?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to read the definition to the word persecute. And it says to harass or annoy someone persistently. And so when we, because that's the word that was used in the scripture in 544, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So if you think about someone harassing or annoying you persistently, and if it's persistently, it means that it's all the time. And so what do you do with that? And then when you read the scripture and it says to love those that are doing this, and it's like, but God, what do you mean by love them? And they are just persistently harassing and annoying me. And so I think we can't differentiate between loving and not allowing. And so when God says to love, that means to love a person no matter what they do. But it's not saying love the person, stand there, and let them do all this stuff to you. That's not what it's saying. It's meaning love that person the way God loves you. And so because we mess up and God still loves us, we know that other people are going to mess up and you still love them, but it does not mean to stand there and be abused and to allow things that disrupt you or hurt you or those negative things. It's not saying to take that. It's not saying that you are supposed to stay in that. It's saying that you are still supposed to love. And love is an action word. And so it means that if this person is continually harassing or annoying you, and depending on the circumstance, it might be a stalker. Let's just say it's a stalker. You know, you can go to the police and get a restraining order or whatever against that person. Let's just say if it's a family member that's continually doing this, there's a way for you to disconnect yourself from that person. You don't have to allow abuse just because the God says to love. Love is, you are. Love is an action word. You are to love them no matter what they do to you. And there may come a time where this same person, you know, may be going through something and may reach out to you for prayer or to be ministered to or something. And you cannot say, no, I will not, because you did A, B, and C. You know, we still are to do what God calls us and commands us to do. So I just want people not to feel like they are in a box or they can't disconnect themselves from certain people that are abusing them because God's word says to love. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Very good. Very good point. Very, very good point. And there was something you said, a thought came to my mind, and I cannot remember it right now, but to God be the glory. But that was an awesome, awesome thing you had given us. Let me let Donna come back in again, just for one moment.
Praise
Go ahead, Donna.
Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. When I dialed in, automatically is my impulse to hit that number one, and so that's what I did. However, I just had an opportunity to hear Minister Tabika and to hear what you were talking about as far as love, loving others, right? And what I want to chime in and say and to share, because I know that sharing is caring, amen. That is the test. That is the test. It's a test of love. I know we as human beings, we want to get people back. We want to take revenge. They did this to us. We want to do something to them. That's human nature. However, Jesus came. When he came, what did he do? He turned the other cheek. I'm not disputing anything that Minister Tabika said. I'm just saying this for me, and what she did, what she gave the definition. Can you do that again? You said harass, persecute. Can you repeat what you said? Because I just caught it.
The definition of persecute is to harass or annoy someone persistently.
Amen. Amen. And so what I'm saying is, I know for me, I'm going through a situation, and I don't want to do this test again. I had enough of this. I need to learn this and to learn it now. And for me, in this particular situation that God presents to me again, is to love them with his love, not my love, because my love, first of all, I don't like what they want me to do. I had enough of that. However, but when I love, I come out of myself when I love with his love, because me, like I said, I don't want to do it, one. And then two, in some instances, I want to get back, you know. But God, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. We all can look that up. We can Google it to find the chapter and verse. For that, he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. He will get them back. And one thing I don't want to happen, also in his word, he said to forgive. And the other thing he said is we don't need anything to cover, to hinder us from Jesus, us from God. And if I have if I'm offended, if I want to hold a grudge against them, that has that person in between me and God. I can't get my prayers answered because this person, I'm holding them hostage in my prison, and which will not allow my prayers to be heard nor answered. I can't allow that. So what do I have to do? Release them and forgive them through God and to take them to God. The other thing I realized is that this is my brother, this is my sister, and God, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to go to hell. So then I begin to pray for them and say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they do. Or maybe they do. Maybe they do know that they are being used by the devil, or even used by God to get me to press into God. Hey, Daddy, I had enough of this. And so now what am I doing? I'm praying more. I'm fasting more. I'm seeking God more. I'm consecrating. So you know what is happening for me? Because it also says that all things work together for our good. This situation with them, their persecution of me, et cetera, has made me to force myself and accelerated me to be in his presence and to do and to be about what I'm supposed to be doing and being about in him anyway. And to God be the glory. I hope and pray that was understandable. In the name of Jesus. But the revelation is to forgive and to release and not let anybody get us out of fellowship with God or to hinder our prayers from being heard or answered because we have a grudge and we have them in our mental prison of getting them back, wanting to get them back, whatever, they did this, and we keep playing what they did to us around in our brains. Like a recorder, they did this and they did this, you know, nursing that situation as opposed to releasing it and praying to God, releasing them, forgiving them, moving on, and acting as if God tells us to give them X, Y, and Z, give them X, Y, Z. If God tells them to pray for them, whatever he tells us to do, to be available to you, be utilized by God for his glory, so that they can see the love of God demonstrated in us in the name of Jesus. That's how people will see God, and that's through us. And they know, goodness, well, you talked about me. You did this to me. You stabbed me in my back. You stabbed me in my front. But what am I doing? I'm blessing you, even knowing what you did. I'm blessing you. But it's not me. It's God through me blessing them because of Jesus being matured, and I'm being formed in his image and matured in me. And to God be the glory. I'm passing this test. I don't have to repeat this thing. I'm a quick learner. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise be unto God. All righty. So now we are dealing with the fact that, and Donna, thank you. We're always in here, Emma. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your input. And everything you said is right. Everything Tabika said was right. It was right, every single thing. And the thing is, as we are loving others, as we are doing what God said, blessing them and so forth and so on, we can't do that without forgiveness. We cannot really do this without the forgiveness portion of this. And in forgiving, you know, you may say, well, my God, how do I forgive someone that has done all of these things to me? And the thing, first of all, you know, is in your loving God, and you're standing on the word of God, and you're believing what God said. And I think one of the things that helped me in the forgiving process is something that Donna mentioned. I don't want my prayers hindered. I pray a lot. And I don't want my prayers hindered because I didn't forgive somebody. I'm praying for too many people. And God forbid that God isn't listening to my prayers because I'm walking around here with vengeance and rage in my heart. So I don't want that to happen. I don't want to let what some man or a woman or a child, what they have done to me, to separate me from God, cause me to be in sin and so forth. I don't want that. I want to live a life that is pleasing unto God, that is pleasing unto God. So that right there alone is reason to forgive. The other thing is looking at the fact that Donna said this, and I think it was an error, it was switched around. Donna said, we're holding them captive. And the thing is, we're not holding them captive. They are holding us captive without knowing, or we are holding ourselves. We imprisoned ourselves by what somebody has done to us, and we're holding bitterness and anger towards them. We are in prison. Do you realize, thanks to God, that most of the people that do things to us, that hurt us and so forth, a lot of them will forget that they ever did it. They will forget what they said that offended us. They will forget what they did that offended us or hurt us or wounded us. They won't think that what they did was wrong because they did what they did because they thought it was right. So they're not thinking they did anything, and they go on with their lives. You become almost not a thought to them. They go on with their lives. But you are walking around in prison, in bitters, because of what they've done to you. And then you can't respond right to other people because every time, you know, you either hear that name or somebody says something that the person that hurt you said what they said, you know, you go into a tizzy. Like Donna said, you're playing that recorder over and over and over again. And you can't function. You are the one that's in prison. Too many times we think that when we forgive somebody, that we have released them and condoned what they did. We have released them into the hands of God, yes. But we are not condoning what somebody did. We're not condoning their sin. We're not condoning their abuse. We're not condoning that. We're doing what the Word says to do to free us up. Because I'm telling you, the people that have hurt you, they're not concerned about your welfare, your mental and spiritual state. They're not concerned about that. They're concerned about what they want, what's good for them. And you are coming from a totally different place. So in this thing of dealing with forgiveness, first of all, the scripture that Donna mentioned and the one that I have lived with and that's helping me even now in my life, God said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. And thanks to God, there is nothing that we could do to take revenge on something that somebody has done to us that will amount up to what Daddy, what Abba Father does. But people forget that they are messing with a child of God. They forget that. And God said, vengeance is mine. Release them into my hands. If we take it into our hands, we're going to do whatever it is we think we should do, and it's nothing like what God does. Vengeance is his. The other thing in dealing with that is the fact that because we are saved, we don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care what they've done. It could be rape. It could be murdering a family member. You still, as a child of God, need to pray for that person's soul that they might get saved, that they might get saved. My mother taught me a prayer, and I don't remember the whole thing, but the part that I remember, you've heard me say this before, that when I am praying and asking God to help me to forgive somebody for hurting me or offending me or abusing me, and I would take it the extra step, and this is the part Mother taught me. And Father, don't let anything that that person has done to me keep them from knowing you. Lord, they've hurt me, and I'm your child. I know that you said vengeance is yours. But Daddy, don't let what they did to me keep them from coming to the place of knowing you. Father, you forgive them for what they've done to me. Forgive them, Lord. And don't let what they did to me keep them from knowing you. And so I'm taking it that extra step. And when we're talking about forgiveness, there are times when we have to, there are times when we have to, with the love of God, look at the person that has hurt us, have compassion for them. Think about where they came from. There are people that abuse other people because they were abused, and this is all they know. It doesn't mean that you say, well, okay, this is all they know, so I'm going to lay back and let them continue to abuse me. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying have compassion and pray from that point. God, help them. Lord, God, you bless them. Father, heal them. Heal them. Heal them. And understand, none of that is giving them permission to continue to do you. Okay, we got a caller here. Let me let this caller speak. Good morning, beloved. Your number is 1816, the last 4 digits. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm well. How are you all this morning?
Bless, my love. Bless.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, this is good. And, you know, a couple of things that as you were talking, one thing is if we see everybody as a soul for the kingdom, it helps us. And forgiveness is not always easy. But one of the things that I try to always do is look at people and understand people operate out of where they are. So if you're broken, then that's how you operate. So if you see people as what they've done, not to excuse it, but to understand this person, you can only give what you have. So if I'm broken and wounded and rejected, then that's what I'm going to give. So we have to, like you said, show the love of Christ. And one thing I always go back to is if God could forgive me in all of the things that I have done when he did no wrong and took on all my mess, so that I could be forgiven, then who am I to say I can't forgive somebody else? Because truthfully, he is the only one who has the right to say he wouldn't forgive somebody, but yet he forgives us of everything we've done. So I always try to keep that in the forefront of my mind, that who am I to say I'm not going to forgive somebody? Because the scripture also tells us if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. So it's the kingdom principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow unforgiveness, then that's what you're going to reap. You cannot be forgiven if you don't forgive. So, you know, these are things, it's very serious, this unforgiveness thing, because like you said, it'll keep us from our blessings and promises, and it'll keep us from heaven. So I made up my mind that I'm not going to allow anybody to stop me from hearing well done and to stop me from receiving the blessings and promises God has here on earth, because they're really not worth it in that sense. So I pray for you. I can love you with the love of God, but I'll set boundaries for you. And, you know, one thing I said, and the person was laughing at me, I said, going into 2024, your issues will be your issues. I love you in Christ. I pray for you, but I'm not going to allow your issues to take me out of character or vex me and cause me to miss what God has for me. Because I don't know about you all, I pray and fast too much to allow somebody's issues to cause me to be displeasing to God in this season. So that's just my 2 cents for the day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That was a miracle. I love it. And when you said, I'm not going to let their issues, you know, cause me not to be in the place I'm supposed to be with God. And you know, There are people who seriously believe, and like you said, they can only give what they got. They only can give what they know. There's some people who seriously believe that the wrong they're doing is right. And the Bible tells us that people will call wrong right and right wrong. And we see that all over the place. In every situation, politicians, in the church, in our workplace, people will call what's right wrong and call what's wrong right. They don't think it's wrong. And this has to deal with a lot of their inner issues, okay? And we have let people put their issues on us. And I told this story one time before about my daughter, who's a daycare mother, was talking to her children there, and this is at the time when the big saying was, you got issues. You got issues. And my daughter was talking to her child, her son, who was a grown man at the time, was talking to him, and laughing, she told him whatever they were talking about. She said, boy, you got issues. And one of the little kids heard her say that, and she said, "Uh-uh, Nana, those are not my shoes. Those are his shoes." So she thought he was talking to mom. My daughter was talking about shoes and not issues. But she said, "Those are not my shoes. Those are his shoes." And because of the fact that I see spiritual things and just about everything, when my daughter told me that, that's something that I've applied to dealing with people. A lot of people want to push their issues off on us, and then we are supposed to walk in the issue that they pushed off on us. And my attitude now, for sure, has become, those are not my shoes, those are his shoes. Let him walk in that, but that's not my issue. That's not my problem. And I don't have to take on that problem. I can pray for the person. I can bless them if they need something from me, whatever the case may be. And again, it's with boundaries. It is with boundaries. Those are not my shoes. Those are your shoes. You walk in them. You walk in them. I tell you, y'all are just truly blessing me over and over again today. And blessing me. Again, I say, you know, we can consider people's struggles. We can consider their challenges. We can do that. And by all means, I still say you have to be clear about your boundaries. You have to be clear about your boundaries. And see, the thing is, because we don't love ourselves, it goes back to the loving yourself. Because you don't love yourself, you didn't set boundaries. I didn't set boundaries. I let someone walk all over me when it came to my heart. I did not set boundaries. And when I set the boundaries and tried to enforce those boundaries, you know, it caused people then not to, they say out their mouth, I love you, but their actions show that they didn't. It shows that they didn't. So you, in dealing with setting boundaries, if you setting boundaries in order to save yourself, setting boundaries according to the word of God, loving yourself the way the word of God says that he loves us, and so you begin to love yourself and care about yourself, and people then, now they can't deal with that. Because they were so used to you letting them do whatever they wanted to do with you. Saints of God, the word again says, love God with everything that we have in us, then love thy neighbor as thyself. After loving God, love yourself. And the thing is, in doing that, when we deal with this forgiveness, you've got to forgive yourself. You've got to forgive other people. And when I say you have to forgive God, people say, well, what do you mean forgive God? We have to forgive God for the things that we blamed him for. God didn't do half the stuff we accused him of doing. But if we walk around holding animosity and hatred against God because he disappointed us or he didn't answer a prayer or we said the abuse that we took from somebody, God allowed it and so forth, yet God is in the midst of our forgiveness. He is in the midst of our forgiveness. We have to seek God to help us to deal with the issues and the concerns and all that we have. And you won't feel right going to God asking him for something with you having an attitude with God, with you having an attitude towards him. Beloved, this whole thing about loving ourselves, about forgiving others, I'm telling you, it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. And I do pray anyone that's on this line, if I have offended you, if I have hurt you, if I have caused you to feel like you were unworthy and that you were unlovable and so forth, I ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive me for anything that I may have done to cause you to be in a wounded place. I ask you to forgive me. And for all of you that are on this line that have done things to me, I want you to know that I extend forgiveness to you. I release you in the name of Jesus. I release you. I release you in the name of Jesus. And I implore you, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you seek the Father and ask him to heal your woundedness, to heal your brokenness, so that you can love the way that the Father God loves you and that you can love him in that same way. You can love him in that same way. Thanks to God. We love you. Baby girl, what's my baby's name? Tamzika. We love you. And we do this because of our love for you. We do this. Our love for you and our love for God. And we want you, and hear me, we are not perfect, and we are not right 100% of the time. Maybe 99.9. Oh, no, I'm only teasing. We are not right 100% of the time. But that's why we do heart to heart, so that we can get to the heart of the matter. The heart ends up being, Father God, what do you say about this whole thing? What do you say? Babies, we love you. We got to run because we got to now go do a prayer walk. Y'all keep us in prayer. Those of you that are not joining us in the prayer walk, keep us in prayer. One of the former members of our church, their son got murdered in December. And four other people were shot, right along with the five people got shot in the same incident. Five people got shot and one died, and the one died was a member of our church. We're going to that spot this morning, and we are going to pray down the demons that hover over that area, and for the blood that has been shed and gone into the ground that Satan is soaking up. We're going and praying over that area this morning. So keep us in prayer. I love you, saints of God. And those of you that know our circle of blessings, I'm not going to repeat the whole circle of blessings. I just want to repeat the end of it. Please know that I love you with all my heart. But no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye, Minister Tamika. Goodbye to those of you, Donna and Prophetess Kim. Thank you so much for contributing today. Goodbye to all of you callers. Get back with us on next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and bring a guest. I love you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.